Blog Talk Radio.
Now I want everybody to clap your hands in this place.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, we want to bring to you Memphis' own. The world's been waiting on it, and now the wait is finally over. Chantel.
Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to another new day that the Lord has made. Amen. Glory to God. This is Rise and Grind for Jesus. And I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Amen. Glory to God. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I listen to this song a lot, and I really like this song. And I listen, I know Jesus will fix it, and you know, I know Jesus would do this, but do you ever listen to the part before all that goes on? She says, because I know Jesus. See, yeah, we know Jesus will fix it, But do you know him? Because if you know him, there's not a shadow of a doubt that all is going to be well. There's not a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be healed. There shouldn't be a shadow of a doubt that you won't be delivered. There should not be a shadow of a doubt that you won't be strengthened and uplifted. But it's on God's timing. If you know God, you know God do what he want, when he want, how he want. He loves us unconditionally, and his way is always the best way. So, you know, let's get back to loving Jesus. That's why I'm at in this season. I'm in a season of loving God even more, loving Jesus even more, just loving him, just really, really loving him. I want to get into this lesson. I just want to share that. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we're just going to pray. Father God, we thank you for being you. We thank you for what you've already done, what you've already brung us through, what you've already kept us away from, what you already sealed, what you already opened, and what you have already delivered us from. Father, we want to thank you because of who you are, not because of who you are in our lives, but because of who you are, Alpha and Omega, author and finisher. You are the beginning and the end. You are wonderful. You are loving and kind and beautiful and love and everything great. And we love you for those things. And we thank you for choosing us. We thank you for a second chance, third, fourth, and fifth. We letting us go. We thank you for your healing power when we needed to be healed. We thank you for lifting us up when we was down. We thank you for keeping us when we didn't know how to keep ourselves, keeping our family members, keeping our friends. We thank you for the ministry. We thank you for raising us up. We thank you for imparting parts of you in us. Now, Father, those things that you put in us, let us activate them in our everyday lives. We thank you. We glorify you. Father, take away all the sadness. Take away all the misery. Take away all the dampness. Things that just don't let us get excited about you. Remove them, evict them, tear them up, demolish them out of our lives. Let us get back to loving you because you're you and for no other reason. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, 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 hallelujah. Last week, we was talking about prayer, and we were going to do a lesson in all kinds of different kinds of prayer. There's intercession prayer. There's we were talking about prayer for families. We were talking about prayer. It was just so many different kinds of prayer, the prayer life, and why you should pray, how you should pray, where you should pray, your prayer closet, that holy place. Do you have a place where you make holy, that you make that God can meet you there, that you know every time you're there, he's there waiting, that that place is off limits to anything and everyone that's not Christ. Amen. And we continued, we had ended in the book of Ephesians. We was reading the whole armor of God, and we got down to verse 17. And I thank God for having it in this order, because I want to read verse 18. I want to talk about some things in verse 18. I want to talk about, we'll go to the book of Corinthians also, and a few other scriptures. However the Spirit leads, amen, we will be obedient and follow. Today's title, if you're into making titles and putting titles down, I want to conclude it with last week and call it Preparing for Battle. I'm learning that with the whole armor of God, all the tools that God has given us, amen, those are tools that we should use. And then as I read this, I understood that Paul was using it like a military like imagery this in this passage to try to encourage us in our daily Christian walk. Because as I read through this passage, I start envisioning like a war type, like putting on maybe every piece of, you know, every piece of armor. Amen. Every piece of armor, piece by piece. But I didn't want to miss the main point, and that was the focus must be on your personal preparation. not on your enemy, but how do you prepare before you put on your whole armor, God? Are you up praying? Are you up in the presence of the Lord first? Are you grumpy? Are you grouchy? Or are you just getting up and I guess I'll just do what the scriptures say. I'm going to walk with my whole armor, God, today. I'm just going to put on the gospel of peace this morning. I don't even think I need all that. I don't need no sword of the spirit. You know, so how do you prepare before you even put on your armor? How are we preparing ourselves for that? Not the enemy, but how does a godly man or godly woman prepare to live each day of our lives, each day as a follower of Christ Jesus? Amen. There's some things that we must pay careful attention to in our lives. We have to pay careful attention. And the one thing I've learned for me, I'm only speaking for me in this particular incident, is keeping my sword sharp. I got to keep that thing sharp and ready, which means I have to be in the Word. I have to study. I have to read. I have to pray. I have to fast. I have to give time over to the Lord. I have to be quiet. I have to sit still. I have to listen. I have to surround myself with saints and people that are studying and getting closer to God and being empowered by God and getting divine wisdom and direction and understanding from Christ Jesus. Because I found out that a lot of people that speak in tongues, and we're going to get into that in a minute, because praying in spirits is different than praying in the spirit. Because there's some people that's praying in some spirits that ain't got nothing to do with God. And because you don't, and we're going to talk about that, because you don't, that unfamiliar tongue, you know, and there's people in the church who don't know, or there's no one interpreting in that tongue, what is really being said? What atmosphere is really being set? And we're going to go into that. I just want to read the verse, but I wanted to share how I seen Paul was sharing that. And one of the ways I come to, you know, like I said, sharpening, keeping my sword sharp, is always praying with all prayer, and the scripture says it, in all prayer and supplications in the spirit. What spirit are you praying to God in? Are you saying nice, beautiful words, but your heart, you just, oh, God, don't really care. You know, I'm wasting my time. What spirit are you really praying in? How are you going to the throne room with your prayer life? What kind of atmosphere is set for your prayer life? Is it sour like a grapefruit, or is it sweet like a peach? I mean, really, like, do we ever think about how we go before the Lord? How is our spirit, man? Is I'm full of sin and anger and ratchetness and nastiness, and I just vow, but I still call myself praying? How do we go before the Lord? Amen. Because God's word and prayer, that is two of our greatest weapons, his word and prayer. And it's our greatest weapon against the evil one. Listen, the evil one is real. Satan is real. The devil is real. Hell is real. Lucifer is real. It's real. God will not put, I don't think the Lord would have all these prophecies, all these prophets and apostles and preachers and people putting this information together for us if it was propaganda. He's not a fake God. He's a real God. Everything he gives, everything God makes is good. So if he made the word, it's good for his people. It's good for our survival. It's good for our everyday life. It's good for our intercessor prayer for someone else. Even when we pray for other people, how do we go before the Lord for other people? I really don't want to pray for them anyway, but I'm going to do it because I know, oh, they're going to be knocking on my door asking me, you know, they're going to be calling me on the prayer line. I might not even answer my phone today. Well, that's the case. How do you think God is feeling about those things? Amen? How do you really think God feels about that? Now, I'm just asking a question. I don't know the answer. I've been trying to study. It's just a question. Anybody, you can answer it your own way, or you can study it, or try to, you know, tell me, you know, however you feel about it. My thing is praying. It's praying in the spirit. Is it the same thing as praying in tongues? Because if a person is speaking in tongues and I don't know what they're saying, and I just assume they're praying, but they're not in the spirit, it's just a made up tongue. So to me, praying in the spirit is not praying in tongues. I mean, I might be wrong. Amen. I'm just asking a question, but I do want to know what is praying in the spirit. I do want to know that is something that I am curious about, because I don't want to get caught up in every time I hear someone speaking in tongues, I'm touching and agreeing, and I'm trying to get in the spirit of, and I'm in my spirit, and then I'm trying to get in their spirit because I'm trying to be touching and agree with what they're saying, and I don't really know what they're saying. We're going to talk about the interpretations of tongues also, because it's a part of what we're talking about right now. Amen. So we got to remember that we God has given us weapons against evil, against anything that's the enemy, against the enemy's fiery darts. He's given us weapons. He's given us ammunition against temptation, against lust, against greed, rebellion. And there's so many other things that this will help us get through if we just keep our sword sharp. Things will come in our lives on a daily basis. Verse 18 saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. My brothers and my sisters, I'm praying for my brothers and my sisters in the spirit. And to me, it's like when you're praying, I think God flashes people's face before you. He put names in your spirit, name in your heart, somebody you haven't heard from or talked to in a while, and all of a sudden you're thinking about them. And either you're getting ready to go in prayer, or you're in prayer, or even when you're just sitting around and somebody, and God just lays somebody heavily in your heart. Heavily in your heart. I just believe that is God's way of saying pray for that individual. And when you do go in the spirit, God will tell you through your tongue, or when you are speaking in tongues, God will tell you what to say. When you're praying, God will tell you what to say. Amen. Because even if we study the Old Testament, the wars of the Old Testament, they talk about when the armies of Israel fought in their own strength, they always lost. When we fight in our own strength, we will almost guarantee, almost always lose. When we're fighting whatever battle it is you're fighting against, your significant other, on your job, lack, poverty, lust, smoking, gambling, whatever it is that we're trying to fight on our own, we're almost going to lose. God has given us weapons. God has given us him. He's given us information to be winners. Amen. Because they fought in their own strength, and they always lost. But I believe, and from what I read, when they cast themselves upon God, when they cast themselves upon God's mercy, when we throw ourselves on God's mercy, victory always follows. I don't care what your situations are, throw yourself at God's mercy. I'm sorry. I'm evil inside. I'm nasty. I'm dishonoring. I'm disrespectful, but I'm sorry. Help me change my ways. I don't want to continue to be a loser. I don't want to lose in the kingdom. I don't want to lose in our relationship, God. Whatever, just be honest and throw yourself on. This is about being victorious. This is about having a strong prayer life that before you even open your mouth or before you just go into your prayer closet, God has already answered your prayer. And then when you get there, he starts talking to you and giving you a joy about something totally different and made you forget what you went in there for. That's joy. Because when you build that kind of bond up with God, you don't. Listen, he already knows what your heart's desire. He already knows what you need, what you want. He wants us to build a relationship with him that is so personal and so intense and so real and so loving and so caring that our prayer life has to become a daily part of our lives. And I don't mean, I'm not trying to tell you how to pray, but spend some time in his presence. Spend some time with him, even if everything going good, even if everything going chaotic. Because, listen, though, when you spend time with God, we can talk about the things that's going chaotic in our life. We can spend time and say, Lord, good God Almighty, every time I turn around, there's a brick falling here, the ground opening up here, the windows closing in, the water coming, the steam. Lord, good God Almighty, I know you hear, and I know you hear me, and I know you know why this is happening. I just need you to keep me strong. Keep my heart pure. Keep my mind set on you. Give me a spirit of joy so I can rejoice in what you're doing in my life. Amen. This is prayer. This prayer is the key. It is our key to our Father. It is our communication. It is our talk. It is our daily talks, our daily walks. When you get on a plane and travel 600,000 miles to go see your friend you ain't seen in 15 years, that's the gossip. Oh, girl, let me tell you what happened, man. You should guess what, man? Leroy's still in jail. But God say, listen, early, rise early. Seek my face. Turn from our wicked ways. Oh, man. Okay. Hallelujah. Like I said, when we go to God's mercy, we always, victory always follows. Because we got to understand supplication means to ask God for whatever one needs. But asking is the rule of the kingdom. That's the rule. The rule. Asking. That is the rule. He don't have a problem with us asking. We ain't going to him with no silliness, but he don't have a problem with us asking. That's part of the rule. That is part of the rule. If you turn your Bibles with me real quick, just I like to prove it by the Bible. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, starting in verse 7, because if we keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking, the doors are going to answer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if this son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Who ask him? Jesus commands his followers, his children, his believers to pray using three imperfect words, just three acts, seek and knock. All three words are in the seeking and knocking. All three commands are what? They are accompanied by response from God. You knock, you get a response. You seek, you get a response. You ask, you get a response. You get a response from God. His people receive, find, and have the door open to them. God answers prayer. God answers prayer, y'all. Listen, that is the one of the most lovely. I'm finding out that there's some things that I thought I was doing that was what I was. I'm finding out that prayer is the key to success, to glory, to life, blessings, to goodness. And it's not always going to be peaches and honey. It's not always going to be peaches and cream. Oh, but it's worth it. Oh, God, it's worth it. He said, seek me, knock, and the door will be open. Knock, knock, seek me, knock, ask me. You know, we go into prayer, what do we talk to God about? What do you ask God for? I mean, I don't want to know, but those are questions you just ask yourself. What do you ask God for when you're in prayer? The book of Matthew chapter 21, 22 says, and whatever things you ask in prayer. Now, here's the part. Here's the part. Whatever you ask for in prayer, that's what we're talking about, right? Believing you will receive. Are you really believing when you ask God? Are you really believing that God is going to move on your behalf? Are you really believing that it's already taken care of? It's already done. Do you really believe that God is not a man that he shall lie? Do you really believe that? Or is this emotion we go through as Christians, Christian etiquette? Oh, I'm just going to do it and see what happens. There should be a joy in us when we go to pray the Lord just because we have freedom to pray. Just because he's given us this option, this tool to go before him and pray to him. He's given us all the information we need. Come to me, seek me, find me, knock. He's there waiting. The Bible is full of instructions telling us on a daily basis what God wants from us, what he wants us to do. Nowhere in the scripture does anyone cast the mountain into the sea through a faith-filled prayer. Why not? Because God has never willed anyone to pray such a thing. See, what is God willing you to pray? And are you listening? And are you hearing? And are you being obedient and praying the things that God is willing you to pray? There's a method to what God does in our life. There is a method. God has never willed anyone to pray such a thing. This is something like the Pharisees and the teachers' acts of Jesus. God loves his children to accomplish great things through prayer. God loves his children to accomplish great things through prayer. But, it's always a but with the Lord, only when it is within his purpose. Oh, y'all hear that? Only when it's with his purpose. God is great. God knows all. Like this, don't sleep on your word. Don't sleep and let the information that God is trying to give us go over our heads or fade. Don't let the enemy fool us into it's just a bunch of words. Who got that kind of time to read all that? Ain't nobody going to be reading all that. Oh, yes, I am. Because if that's what God wants us to do, and those are the instructions he's given us. Amen. Because we got one day, we all going to stand in judgment. We all going to stand in judgment one day. And we have to be ready for that. So if God has given us answers and he's given us instructions and we're not following them, we can't say, oh, Lord, why you do that to me? I didn't make it in, da-da-da-da-da. Well, wait a minute. I told you on June 6th of 2022 to start praying more. I gave you the instruction, seek me and you'll find me. Knock and I'll answer you. Did you do it? Did you do it? Just the thing that we think because we doing all, you know, we in church every Sunday and we jumping in. No, we got to follow God's instructions. We got to do it the way God say do it, not the way we want to do it. Not, oh, I ain't going all this. That's too many services. I'm not going all them services. Okay. But the Bible is full of God giving us instructions. Even in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. It's plain. Matter of fact, it's in red. And I was always told that's Jesus talking. And Jesus ain't no liar. Amen. And I want to read this verse to you. I think it'll help a lot of us. Chapter 11, because we're talking about prayer. Verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So even when we go before the Lord in prayer, and that ought with your brother, your sister, or you're just angry at someone, you gotta give a genuine forgiveness. A genuine forgiveness. Amen. Truly, truly forgive. Because you want God to forgive us. We want God to forgive us. Amen. I know I do. I know I do. I can't afford to walk out of the will of God or not follow God's instructions. And he's trying to teach me and show me. But I want to do what I want to do. Amen. I'm not that brave. I'm not that brave. Amen. So I want to say these things because I want us to understand how important. Let me say it like this. It's how important to understand that we can't fly on one wing. How about if I say it like that? We need Christ. We need Jesus. We need to obey his word. We need to be praying. We need to be in the spirit. We need to be asking. We need to be seeking. We need to be knocking. We need to be giving his word back. Father, you said. So always remember, we can't do it on one wing. Amen. We'll be right back.
Feels like I'm going down a one-way street. In every direction. Get around.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I can't fly on one wing. I can't fly with one wing. It don't even make no kind of sense. Even if you just think about it, you can't soar unless the Lord is guiding that other wing, that unseen spiritual wing, that unseen glory, when he just lifts you up and everybody like, how in the world are they still standing? How in the world are they still happy? How are they soaring in the faith? How are they still trusting and believing and all hell is breaking loose? Oh, because I trust and I believe. And when I seek my Father's face and he already promised me and tell me he got me, there's no room for doubt. I had to continue to rejoice. I had to continue to stand firm. I had to continue to stand on his word. I had to continue to be that cornerstone. I had to continue to be that rock that he had raised me up to be. Amen. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. I'm not going to take up most of your time, or not of a lot of your time, on this evening. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, can you go with me to the book of Corinthians, amen, chapter 14, and I'm going to start at maybe verse 13, just to give us some background on what I am doing here, amen, hallelujah. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret it. Now, we're going to stop right there. The Bible says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now, you speaking in the unknown tongue. Now, because you speak in the unknown tongue, you have to pray that you may interpret it. Because that unknown tongue, that's God speaking. So now I want to know what the Father is saying. I want to know what the Father is saying through me. I was always, you know, I was told when I first got into ministry that people shouldn't speak in tongues unless there's someone there interpreted what was being said, because if there's a babe there or someone who doesn't understand the, you know, in the spiritual realm of what's being said, and the person is just constantly speaking in tongues, now how do the congregation understand that? Okay, let me continue to read, because I want to make sure we get the prayer part in here. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So when you're speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, when you're in prayer, you're understanding. That's the bond. That's a bigger bond between you and God. The enemy can't get in that. The enemy doesn't understand that. That is you and God just speaking. And a lot of times, even over the congregation, when someone, especially a preacher that's preaching the word, and the Holy Spirit gets them, and they just flow and flow and flow in tongues. And this is how I understand the, and I'm not saying nothing about nobody, but this is how I understand those that are really speaking and God is using them, because most of the time when they come out, they say what God has said or what God is saying. When you just speak in tongues and flow and don't give us no information, no interpretation or nothing, you know, that is something that, and I think I have found something in the Bible that speaks about that, Because the purpose of the gift is for the guide of the church, right? So how is the church built up if even the one exercising the gift has no idea of what's being said? Because if there's nobody to interpret the gift, all that is ineffective to the church. There's no one to interpret that prayer. It's ineffective to the church. And the church is trying to get healed, trying to get delivered, trying to get closer to Christ, trying to turn from all wicked ways, whatever it may be. And I'm only saying that because every time people, it's a learning experience. I don't want no one to think just because a person speaks in tongues that they're in the spirit, because there's all kinds of spirits. Amen. Now, we supposed to, those who speak in tongues, they supposed to pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. Now, that's when they're in the spirit. And for those of us, if you come on morning prayer, I think it's Monday mornings or Wednesday morning prayer with Apostle Carolyn McNeil, even when she's praying and the minute she start uttering in tongues and she's flowing and flowing, the first thing I notice is people that's on the prayer line start saying hallelujah, glory, or what, you know, they're feeling the spirit draw them in. The spirit is pulling them into the midst of what the Holy Spirit is using the woman of God to say. Now, once that happens, I hear the woman of God say, the spirit of the Lord is saying, this is a teaching thing. This is not to badger anyone, but be aware of false prophets. Be aware of just everybody who speaks in tongues is not speaking in tongues. They're speaking in something, but is your spirit interpreting? Are you getting an understanding of what they're speaking, or are you just there letting it go past you? We have to be so careful what people pray over us, who prays over us, who land hands on us. We have to be careful with those things. Amen. We shouldn't be naive, but we should be humble, like babes in a sense, about evil, but we should be mature in spiritual knowledge and understanding. But unfortunately, with this time we live in, with the world we live in, unfortunately, it's the opposite. It's often true. Because God, the children of God tend to, no, we tend to know more about sin and the ways of the world than we do about the ways of God, the way God operates, the way God uses the man or woman of God, the way God intercedes with our life, the way God gives us instructions to pray for our neighbors, whatever instructions God gives us, we have to be mature in the spirit as well, because enemy is cunning. And when you got a good leader, follow that leader. When they're leading you from the word of God and your spirit is connected to your shepherd. Amen. Amen. I'm only saying that because I don't want nobody saying, well, I speak in tongues. And I ain't got to say, well, the Bible say you do. You have to give an explanation of what you're saying. You just can't spurt out a whole bunch of tongues and the congregation sitting there, you ain't say nothing. Because if it's a God, God is telling you what to tell the people. Right? It's not a debate. It's not an argument. I just don't want nobody to get blindsided or caught up in tongues, because we have to do it. It has to be done the way God say do it. Amen. I don't. God gives us instruction, and I'm just a firm believer in trying to follow. I will follow God's instructions, and I'm not saying if people don't like, you know, that. What, especially if I find it in the Bible and that's what I believe, I got to believe all the Bible. I can't believe some of it and don't believe parts of it. Amen. So I'm just saying that for security reasons, be careful. Amen. That's all I'm saying. We have to be careful. We have to be so careful at this day and time. I want to get one more scripture before I go. God is good. I just want to get this scripture because I think this scripture for me, it always was right on time. I didn't have excuses after I got this scripture. Amen. I'm going to find it. Did I make sure I got it before I tell somebody? I think this is the scripture I'm talking about, but I'm most likely it's Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. I think I'm looking for, I'm looking for chapter 4. Hallelujah, because I want. Hallelujah. Because this scripture, I think, is one of the most important scriptures anywhere to me. I think it's one of the most important scriptures. Let me see if I spell it right. Ecclesiastes. Hallelujah. Chapter 4, verse 12. Oh, help me, Jesus. I am so sorry. I'm making sure I got the right scripture because that is the scripture that I want to come from. My Bible is back and I just ain't been using my baby. Please work with me. Forgive me. Forgive me. 7. Proverbs. And Ecclesiastes. Okay. Okay. For some reason, I am not finding the scripture that I want to find. Lord, help me. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to put a song on till I find this song. I don't have a lot of time. God, forgive me.
For so long, I was silent. For so long, I did not have a song of praise. Depression filled my days, and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, awaking the passion so quiet in me. So still in me. Give up, no.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Please, please, please me. It sounds funny. I can't read my own handwriting, and I apologize for the inconvenience. I found this scripture on another page, so I really apologize, really, because I don't like to hinder the work of the Lord. I don't like to. I know we're human and we make mistakes, and I'm not apologizing for making mistakes. I'm apologizing for being up on it the way I should have. I got to do better with my handwriting. So if you just real quick, and we're going to do this and we're going to end with this, Second Chronicles chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 14. And I'm just going to talk about a few steps real quick. Amen. Glory to God. If my people who are called by my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. All through the lesson this day, I've been hearing that scripture because I think that is one of the scriptures that God gives us. It's so plain, it's so simple. It is instructions, if nothing else. It is instruction. If my people, if we say we are God's people, we know that we are God's people, and we know that we belong to the Lord, and we know that He's our Father, and and Jesus is our Savior, and we know He keeps us, and we know that because of Him we live and breathe. If we know that we are His people, and we know that we are called by name, which are called by name. If my people, which are called by name, shall humble themselves, get the humbling, pray, seek my face, and turn from there, there's a lot of us, wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's four steps that God, there's four steps to what God wants. Just tell me what you want. Many men have made this frustrating exclamation to someone they're trying to please or, you know, at least satisfy. And we just can't figure out what it takes to do so in a relationship. I do all I can. I just can't get it. Relatives, employers, employees, friends, friendships. those all those people makes demands on us at all times. And it sometimes it brings kind of statement. God never stutters when he tells us what he wants. He never stutters. He never bites his tongue. He never creeps around with it. It's direct, straight to the point. Amen. It names, this scripture names four things. And as we study this passage, we got to notice whom God is addressing. Who is God talking to? Who is God speaking to? My people, his people, which are called by my name, by his name. He calls them by name. Personal matter between God and those who claim to be his followers. What does he want? Only the following. He only want the following things. He only want what he's asking. He's only want what he says he want. Humble yourselves. Pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. These four steps are very easy to understand. And if taken in sequence to do, thinking about, if we think about the sequence and how important it is, how important it is to humble ourselves. Until we admit we can't live as God intended, we are not in position to seek his help. Because remember, Jesus told his disciples, whoever shall exalt himself shall what? Be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Remember that in the book of Matthew? Go with me real quick. I just want to back it up by Bible. The book of Matthew. I don't have a lot of time. I know. We're going to continue next week. The book of Matthew chapter 23. I love doing this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The book of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. This is Jesus talking. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And I got to get to verse 12, Matthew, right? Hallelujah. And I am right here. Verse 12. Here you go. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So it's there. It's in the Bible. It's there. The book of Matthew, chapter 23, hallelujah, verse 12, is there. It's the Bible giving us information. Nothing else in the Bible at this point seems to matter. Amen. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Because nothing else in the Christian life and other books on TV works until we recognize our frailty. Amen. And become serious about our complete need for God. Pray. Prayer is the link between I can't and God can. Only after admitting that we can't will God. Pray. That's part two. Pray. Prayer is the link. That's the link. Because I can't, but God can. Amen. And only if we can't will search for God's face suggest more than a prayer. Amen. Only after admitting we can't will we call out in a new attitude of urgency to the one who can. Desperation to the one who can. crying out. I'm just desperate. I'm just, please help me. Amen. And the third thing, seek his face. Seek his face. Meditate and lingering. Search for God's face. Suggest more than a prayer for help. It calls for a quiet time of seeking after him. Because God wants a face-to-face relationship with each of his people. Turn from your wicked ways. This fourth demand is the tough one for most of us, most of his people, most of his children, most of the world. Priorities, habits, peer pressure, and pleasure all pull at us to do what we know we shouldn't. Only with the first three steps in place can we tackle the fourth. God makes a promise to people he seriously pursue. People that seriously pursue him through humility, prayer, a personal relationship, and repentance from sin, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Because the I'm going to go right over to chapter 6. I think it's Solomon chapter 6 real quick for. I think it's chapter 6 anyway. Solomon 26. Yes, 26 through 31. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be long. When the heavens is shut up, and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee. Yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sins, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people, Israel. When thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto the people for an inheritance. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence and there be blasting or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if the enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of all man or of all thy people, Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hands in this house. Then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest until our fathers. Hallelujah. That's Bible. He's telling us. He's telling us what he expects. He's telling us how to get it right. Amen. This is a direct response. Solomon is giving us a direct response to that prayer God answers. You do your part. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. And I'll do mine. Hear from heaven, forgive your sins, and heal your land. Life still works that way for the believer. We just have to believe and trust that everything that God says he shall do, everything he says he shan't do, he won't do. But the things that he wants from us and want us to do, listen, That is a guiding statement for the whole rest of the book of Second Chronicles. That statement right there is a guiding statement for the rest of Second Chronicles. Amen. That statement is so clear. It is so clear. Because it not only applies to the people as a whole, but to individual kings, messiahs, presidents, everybody. We can't do this on our own. Your prayer life is so valuable and so precious and so important to us. Always remember that. If nothing else, get Second Chronicles, write it down. Chapter 7, verse 14, write it down. Write it down. Read it. Read it. Ask yourself, am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I humbling myself? Am I turning from my wicked ways? Or am I just doing what I want to do? Because God said this is what he wants us to do. Those of us that are called by his name. And if you are called by his name, today you're accountable for that information. Today we have no more excuses. Amen. This has been Rise and Grind for Jesus. And I've been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I hope someone got something out of this evening. I know I did. I appreciate every listener. I appreciate the audience. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. We love you with the love of the Lord. We just want you to continue to come, invite someone. This is truly a season of prayer, learning to prayer, need to pray, if it's not for ourselves, for someone else. We got to start changing, y'all. And we got to start changing for the good. Father, we love you. We thank you. We glorify you. Show us the way, Holy Spirit. Speak through us. Teach us. Give us understanding. Give us divine wisdom. Give us your ways. Tear down everything that has nothing to do with you. Tear down each and every door that's closing us in. Break the ceiling, Father, so we may rise closer to you. Tear down the heavenly so we can get to you, Father. We want to get closer to you. We want to be more like you. We want to be your servants. We want to be your humble servants. We want to be your loyal, truthful, humble servants. We want to do the will of our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus. We come to you this evening, Father, saying, transform us to who you called us to be. Break every chain that's been hindering us and holding us down. Come forth, Holy Spirit, and have your way in our lives. Move every filthy, foul, dirty thing that the enemy may try to use to hinder our relationship with you. Cast our cares upon you on this day, Father, saying thank you for giving us another day, saying thank you for allowing us to be your children, saying thank you for calling our name. Thank you for putting our names in the book of life. Thank you for blessing our family and friends. Thank you for even blessing our enemies. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us the information. Thank you for walking beside us. Thank you for lifting us up when we're falling. Thank you to put us in a humble place when we're big-headed. Thank you for spanking us when we deserve to be spanked. Thank you for being our Father, our honorable Father, the creator of all things. We want for nothing because you own all things. And whatever you desire for us to have, we will knock, we will ask, and we will seek, and we will wait on you, Father. But we will not turn back to our wicked ways. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. and we thank you on this day. We ask you to bless those that are on the shedding and sick and ill. We ask you to send your healing angels their way, to sit at their bedside and lay hands on them and wait for you to say, touch them in my name. Heal them in my name. Release them in my name. And we will rejoice now knowing that it is already done. Keep our families safe from harm, danger, seen and unseen. Bless the nations. Bless the leaders, Father. Touch the hearts of each and every nation leader, each and every president, king, queen, who's ever in those positions. Touch their hearts and turn them back to you, Lord. Put the prayers back in the schools. Put the prayers back in the buildings. Put the prayers back on earth. Put the prayers in the hearts of your people. Put the prayers on the tongues of your people. We ask you to bless this land this day with your peace and your serenity. We ask you in Jesus' name these things. Keep us, God, in your perfect peace today and forevermore. We love you. And we will change. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's our closing song.
Needs to make that confession of faith tonight. I want you to say this. I came here sick, but when I leave, I'll be healed. Thank you. sometimes you can't wait on a prophet to come to your house. Sometimes you got to gird up your own loins and prophesy over your own stuff. That I'm changing. I came here sick. Get my granddaddy up these steps here. Come on. I'm changing.
I'm changing.
Come on, man.
Oh, I'm changing, Lord. I won't ever be the same. Oh, no, 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 no. Done something for me.
Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You're changing.
Yes, I'm changing.